Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. Body, how are you, my man?
I'm extremely good. I'm really happy with the way the next couple of months are going to look for basketball in this country. There's so many good things happening, and I think we've got one of our best guests coming up with somebody that I saw a lot of as a player, and now as a coach, really looking forward to talking to him. Do your intro, Brad.
Yes, I saw a lot of him of a player as well, and a couple of those were daggers when he dropped them for West Sydney on us. But this man is a basketball junkie. We love him. He's a legend of our sport. Born in Toowoomba, Queensland, he grew up there playing basketball, cricket, and Australian rules. He attended Harrison State High School, then moving to United States in 91, played basketball for Tacoma Community College. I hope I'm saying that right. Then he transferred to Gonzaga, where he played the next 3 years. He then returned to Australia and debuted for the mighty Brisbane Bullets in the 95 season, where he won the Rookie of the Year. The next year, he joined the Adelaide 36ers and played three seasons for them, winning an inaugural championship under Phil Smythe there when he took over in 98. He then joined the nemesis, the West Sydney Razorbacks. We can still talk about them. It's okay. He joined them, and after four seasons there, he actually had some grand final appearance. Unbelievable. Some of those games were just amazing. He then played in Greece for AEK Athens, returning back to the Razorbacks. And I remember there was one game, Body, 45 points, 11 three-pointers. The guy was a freak. Yep. He averaged 23.6 during the 2002 and 03 season, which earned him the scoring title, had another 40-point game, this time in a semi-finals match, named in the All-NBL first team. And then he went up to the Townsville Crocodiles, playing a number of seasons there, but one I remember in 2009 when he scored 30 points, another 10 three-pointers in an elimination final. He was then a representative in 2004 at the Olympics, and he played his final season in New Zealand, 481 NBL games. He averaged just over 16, over 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals. Absolute superstar of our sport. Since finishing his amazing playing career, he's now turned himself into an unbelievable coach. And he has been, obviously, where he returned to the United States and became a director of basketball operation at Boise State. In 2011, he was named assistant coach, which he held for 6 years. And then he moved to UC Santa Barbara, where he was associate head coach. He was also the assistant coach of our mighty Rose Gold medal bronze at the Tokyo Olympics. He has just signed a 3-year deal with the mighty Perth Wildcats. What an amazing signing that is. It is an absolute pleasure to have John Rilly here. John, that's our 30 minutes up. Thanks, mate. Enjoy the time. See you later.
G'day, boys. Take a breath, Brad. You need to turn into my agent with a repertoire like that.
So, well, let's go right back to the start, John. Let's start right at the beginning. Toowoomba, how do you decide basketball was a sport for you? How does that come about?
My father was involved in basketball back in the day when it was state versus state. He actually played for Queensland. Quite an accomplished basketballer himself. Had kids at a young age, so then you got to make some decisions. Do you chase that dream, or do you be a good parent? So he chose being a good parent, and it worked out well for me. I grew up in Toowoomba, where you play all sports. Now, you mentioned Aussie rules, but I actually probably played more rugby league, because in the early days you could play in your weight division. So I was like a 15-year-old playing with 5-year-olds. So that
That sounds like that Kramer episode of Seinfeld where he's in the karate class with the little kids.
Yeah. And he knocks him out when the fire starts.
It's a fury.
John, talk to us, how did the college thing, like a lot of guys at that age, you know, there was AIS coming and college, and back then, correct me if I'm wrong, college is not like it is these days for Australia. Right now, in Australia, it's like go to college. But back then, that's a big move.
Yeah, look, I think I was 14, maybe 15, and I got enamored with the sport. Watched a lot of college basketball. I had access to videotapes, so I just was like, oh man, if I could ever get over there. So I finished high school in 88. I started writing letters to coaches, and that's how you used to operate back in that day. So, and you know, look, I wasn't on anyone's radar back there. You were very complimentary of the AIS. Like, I wasn't on their radar. So I had to create kind of my own pathway. But I was more than happy to go to the U.S. because my mentality was, everyone's screwing me in Australia. Let me go to the U.S. and try against the best in the world, and let's see where we land.
Nice.
You know, so I did. I wrote letters. I walked on at Tacoma Community College, but Ronnie Radliff was actually the one that really helped me out with that as far as giving me advice. I went and played for a well-respected coach in that in the Northwest, Ron Billings Sr. And look, it was the best decision I made. I got to go and play a truckload, but I really learned a lot from that coach. And then I was fortunate enough to transfer to Gonzaga, and the rest is history.
That's what I wanted to ask my next thing. We get a lot of our listeners and, you know, young kids going to go to college. Is a lot of people say, do you go to one college? Is it a problem to transfer? How did that happen? And what is your suggestion to kids that listen about, if it's not working here, go there?
Yeah, look, so Tacoma was a junior college, so I could only spend maximum 2 years there. Yes. But I was fortunate enough. I paid enough attention at Harristown High School that I could transfer after one. Gonzaga, you know, offered me a scholarship. So instead of paying for school, I actually paid for my schooling. So that sounded pretty good to me and was user-friendly on the bank account. But to get to your question about, like, if I'm an Australian kid, I don't care what kid you are, who you are, what your resume is, so forth. Whatever level you think you should be playing at, probably choose the one right below it so you can go and have success. You're going to be talented enough that the coach is going to have to live with your mistakes versus going to the level where everything just has to go perfect for you to have what you perceive as success.
Great advice.
Yeah, that is great advice. I think a lot of people have made that mistake. Ron Radliff, you mentioned. So he was, what was he at that time? Was he playing still for the Brisbane Bullets, or did you have some other connection with him?
So he was playing for the Brisbane Bullets, and for whatever reason, and I pestered every American that come through the Toowoomba gym. They would have been like, man, and understand, I was like 5'7" at the time and probably like 15 kilos. So all these Americans would have been like, who the heck is this kid pestering me about colleges? And Ron Radliff and I just got to know each other over the years. But his father, who was a very successful high school coach in that area, happened to be in the gym at the same time, and they just connected me with that coach at Tacoma. So forever grateful for Ronnie connecting me with like a great situation where I got to go and have success and move on to bigger and better things.
Okay, so Gonzaga, that's John Stockton's school. So what was that experience like? Was it everything that you hoped it would be in terms of a basketball and a life experience?
Yeah, it sure was. Like, all I cared about was playing basketball. I didn't care who the opposition was, what type of gym, all of that kind of stuff. Now, I was fortunate enough they gave me a key to the gym, so I could go there no matter what time of the day and work on my game. So it wouldn't have mattered where it was that I was winning in that situation. Now, they hadn't tasted ultimate success as far as NCAA tournaments and all of that type of stuff, but they had a foundation of becoming a successful program. So, you know, it was a Division I school. Them and Seattle Pacific, which was a Division II school, were the only two schools like recruiting me. So it wasn't as if I had all these options, you know. So some decisions are made for you sometimes.
Very good. Now, then you come back and you go to Brisbane. So college is over. Is that a help of Ronnie? Is he assistant coach then? Or was it, I'm going to Brisbane, I'm a Queensland boy? How did that come about?
Yeah, so look, Bruce Palmer and Dave Ingham were Bullets coaches in 93 when I was like in my second year, sophomore year. So I came back for a couple months and they invited me down to practice all the time. So I was practicing with the Bullets 3 days a week. They tried to convince me to stay, but I thought, you know, I'm going to outsmart the system and go back and make all this money somewhere else. but they stayed with me. They stayed with me. And I tell some guys this story to this day. So So the contract they offered me after the second year was way better than the one that I actually signed and played for them for my rookie year. So they knew what they were on about, and I live to tell the story on that. But look, loyalty, the consistency, with just staying in contact with me, giving me the opportunity, and then at the end of the day, they were actually the only team serious about me joining their roster.
Right, and then you come down to Adelaide. That was Dunlap the draw here, being an American out of the college system.
Yeah, so Bruce was fired from Brisbane, and I was only on a 1-year deal. And obviously, the relationship between Palmer, Gorgian, and Dunlap,
still is today. Yeah,
yeah, and like, you know, love or hate Mike Dunlap, like he was instrumental in the growth of my basketball. And what he really did help with was like off court, like as far as like understanding diet, recovery, and all of this. Like all these teams these days have massages and everything. Like Dunlap was doing that in 1995, 1996. You know, like he was proactive in all of that type of stuff. But then, you know, just the professionalism and your mindset to be successful. You know, like I like enjoying having a good time, but probably when I was that young, I didn't quite understand where the line was for that. So he brought an understanding to me in appreciating what I got to do for a living.
You've played for some amazing teams. You know, you come out of Adelaide, you win a championship, obviously, with Adelaide. I'd love to hear about that. You go to West Sydney, you go to Townsville. Can you put one program ahead of the other, as in who you played with? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, so, like, I don't think you put programs ahead of each other. You put, like, you remember teams. And, and it's easy. The two teams that, like, where you're successful and you have fun was the Adelaide team, where we won the championship, and then the West Sydney team, where we blew a championship to the Kings. Right. That, like, I look back, and it's the way that I'm structuring the team that I coach, is they had basketball players and they enjoyed what they did, and everyone enjoyed each other's company. But they were our IQ, our collective IQ as a team, was very high. So when I look back, what made the game enjoyable for me was being around like-minded people and people that just knew how to play the game.
And when the Sixers won the championship in 98, was it your idea, John, for everyone to shave their heads?
No, that was Kevin Brooks. No, I was already rocking that look, so why did I want those guys joining in?
I want to hear a little bit more about because I'm hearing the coach come out of you and everything you do. It's unbelievable. And the Perth Wildcats, you can see how good it's going to be. That time in Townsville, that looked like an educated team as well. You know, you got your Rob Rose. Was that Pat Reedy days, all of that?
Yeah. So part of my move to Townsville was I really thought myself and Rob Rose could be a lethal combination with Pat Reedy, and then, you know, whatever imports were lucky enough to join in. Now, Pat was a little more injured and banged up at that stage of his career than I thought, you know, but then I got to play with like a young Brad Newley and, you know, other guys that we bought through. So it's not as if Townsville was a bad experience, but when you talk about, like, we never played for a championship in Townsville. So when I talk about success, I think success is measured in championships. So, you know, that's why it's easy for me to reflect on those two teams, is, you know, we got to compete at that level. You know, I know Boddy will bring up, well, West Sydney also played Adelaide in a championship. We were trying to win a championship, but like West Sydney was a young franchise at that stage.
Yeah.
That, like, beating Tigers in the semifinal, like all the people on the periphery, they thought that was the championship.
Yes.
You know? So
yeah, but just John, just to say that series with Adelaide, that was a good series. But the series West Sydney and Sydney, that was a classic. That was one of the best grand final series of all time. So that would be frustrating not to have come away with a championship out of that one.
Yeah, we rubbernecked it. There's no doubt about it. You know, so it haunts me to this day.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, I was lucky enough to be the assistant there, and I still remember we lost, I think it was game three. Bad. Yeah, it does. We lost game three at you, if I'm not mistaken, and it was down 2-1. Yep. And I just remember that speech from Gorge afterwards, like that gave me goosebumps. And I want to transfer what I hear is the speech that happened at the Tokyo Olympics after the semi-final loss. So I want to hear, you know, your thoughts on as a player and then as a coach in situations like that. How is that transferred?
Yeah, so what I would say as I've transferred to being a coach, when you're a you really have to instill trust and faith in players, because at the end of the day, you're sending them out and you hope that they can execute what you're looking for. But what belief and what are you doing to give them the recipe for success when they need to be successful? You know, so like as a coach, how can I get my players in that mindset where they can feel or taste success before it happens? Mm. And that's what Gorgian did in Tokyo after that semifinal. No one left that locker room after losing to the US thinking that we weren't leaving the Olympics without a medal.
Right. Yep.
Iconic moment. You can talk about the game. The Boomers won the game after the US game with what Gorgian said.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I've just written a book about Paddy Mills and the whole Boomers experience, and yeah, that was very, very much came through that probably the best moment of his coaching was what he did after the USA loss. So
unbelievable, like, you know, like it everyone left that locker room. Everyone left that locker room gone, shit's about to happen.
Yeah.
Mm. Phenomenal.
Yeah. It was magical.
So let's talk about the coaching now. You obviously finished NBL and you've gone to Boise State as assistant. And then you, as we said, uh-huh. UC Santa Barbara. I got two questions actually. One, when did you feel I'm totally ready to be a head coach? Or was it the second you finished because you're so educated? And two, have you had an offer? Have you had an offer from an NBL team prior?
Well, shit, I'll start with the first question out of the five of them. I went to the US because I felt if I ever come back to the NBL as a coach, I needed to remove myself. So I didn't have to beat the player at, comparisons that come along with that.
Yep.
Also, I got to go over there and I could just, you know, eat, sleep, being a coach, what that meant. So I left thinking that I was closer than what I was to being a head coach. But when you get over there and you get thrown in the fire, there's a big difference between being a player and a coach. So when did I feel like I was really ready to be a head coach? What gave me comfort and confidence in that was being around the Boomers. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I think what gives probably your confidence is the level of play that you're around. And if you feel like you can get a message across, but you know, all of that type of stuff. And then look, we had a great team. Players were phenomenal. The flexibility that Gorgian gave his coaching staff. And like, for me, like I just went into the first camp just to help out Shag Balls, rebound Joe Ingles misses, you know, and then here a couple weeks later.
It can be
later,
a long rebound.
here a couple weeks later, I end up in Vegas and then Tokyo. So, and you know, Gorge just let me come in and be a part of it. And, you know, so like that just gave me the confidence. And now, had I ever been offered a contract in the NBL as a coach before? No.
Mm.
And did you apply for Perth or did Perth headhunt you?
So I actually interviewed last year for the Perth job, and you know, this ties in with Brad. Like last year, my first interview was during the Olympics. Like, you know, and my mind was elsewhere, where this time, you know, I was still with the Boomers and everything, but that first time around really prepared me for that process. And like, I went after it. with our politicking for the job. But when I sat down with them, they knew that I wanted the job, where I would say last year, I was just trying to get the job. Like I didn't have an edge about myself trying to get the job.
Nice.
I want to jump back to the Boomers for a second, because you've played for the Boomers, but I gathered from when I was putting together the stuff for the Paddy Mills book, that this whole experience, and maybe even 2016 in Rio, there was a whole cultural shift which Paddy had a lot to do with, but and so did some of the other players such as Joe and Matty Dellavedova and Aaron Baines. For you, as someone who'd played with the Boomers, could you see that there's a real difference in how they're approaching playing international basketball to what it had been in the past?
Oh, look, no doubt about it. And, Matty Nielsen and myself were lucky to be in the 2004 Olympics together. There was so many moments through that campaign for Tokyo where we just look at each other and go, how bad were we? Like, as far as the cultural stuff, what was important, we just go, man, we were bad and we thought we were good, And now, look, the dynamic of the game, the professionalism is at a whole different level. But that was when I first joined that group in Irvine, California, they had a confident edge with, Aussie camaraderie about it, so you just felt good about walking in the gym every day. Now, having players, let you mention Mills, Ingles, Thibault, Dellavedova, Baines, Nick Cave, the list goes. Everyone played their role when their number was called at a particular time during that tournament. Sobey comes in against Germany and has a nice couple minutes. Chris Golding hits a big late clock three. Everyone played their role when it was asked of them.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I want to transfer now to the Perth Wildcats. Obviously, we all know that it's been, 34 years they don't make the playoffs. Scott Morrison now gets moved on, and you're the Anthony Albanese that has taken over from him. So
he's been waiting 25 minutes to do that joke.
You are going to be Albo to me, mate, for the rest of the season. But can I? What does John really bring to the Perth Wildcats?
Well, that's a loaded question. Look, I'll answer a question with a question. And this is what I've said about the Perth Wildcats and last year missing out on a playoff. Yeah, they missed out on the playoffs. But if you're running a business and your business runs and your worst year is 16 and 12, you're still running a pretty good business. So I'm lucky with the circumstances. But what I think I bring is simplicity, but preciseness. And that's where Gorgian gave me great confidence as a coach, is as long as players understand what your demands are, and there's not too many of them, it's pretty easy to execute. And that was the beauty of Phil Smythe in his earlier Sixers years. Like, he simplified it because he had a veteran team who knew how to play. Yeah. But they needed a shell for structure. So you look at our roster, we have a lot of veterans. We have an import that's already played at a good level in Europe. We have a hungry young one in Brady Manick. And then we got a Corey Webster, who is an international bucket getter.
Yeah.
So I got to come in with a good game plan, but I'm not trying to bamboozle anyone.
Are you sensing with these older guys like Cotton, Blanchfield, Norton, Wagstaff, even Travers and Zunick and Majok, guys that were part of the team that missed? I know 16-12 would have been worth about second place a couple of years ago, so it's not a bad record. But are they feeling some sense of ownership of, geez, we're the ones that missed out, and wanting to give even more this year? Because I think the Wildcats are a team to be feared this season.
Look, for sure, the reason this job was attractive to me is there's an expectation. I don't want to be a part of anything if you're just trying to get through the season and if it works out good. well. Right. Like, there has to be a level of expectation. All these players are professionals and have a level of expectation because they've been nothing but a part of success around here. Yep. So, you know, like, everyone's prideful at this level. So I don't have to address that. I don't have to talk about it because their actions are showing that, like, their attention.
Yeah.
Practice absolutely. Every day with a hunger, you know. So, yeah, you can tell there's disappointment. You know, but like, how can I get that disappointment to turn into success, the ultimate success?
Now, when Brad asked you a minute ago, what does John really bring to the Perth Wildcats? I fully expected you to say what every coach says. Well, man, we're going to focus on our defense. Our defense is going to be the bedrock of what we do. And we're going to play an attractive running game. That's what I expected to hear from you, because that's what every single coach in the history of the universe says.
Can I also say, John, I'm really sorry about his American accent. I don't know what that came from.
That was
I don't
Scott know where Morrison. That, came. That was Scott Morrison 12 months ago, mate.
JR, I got a quick question. Brady Manick. I watched that kid, yep. North Carolina. I really liked him. I'm shocked yep. he didn't get picked up. But look, I'm not massive in all the colleges and don't know, you know, where he should go and where shouldn't he. But I looked at him and I really liked him. I feel you got a really yep. good one. Was that a big signing for you?
Yep. To tell you the full story. So Danny Mills and I are at Summer League, and he was one of the guys that I felt the way I wanted to play, he would really suit our style,
yeah.
having a big
yeah.
that can really stretch the floor, you know, teamed up with Tayshaun Thomas. We got, I don't know, day two or three at Vegas, and it seemed like Manick would, you know, get like a two-way or some type of NBA opportunity. So we just totally switched gears and put our eggs into different baskets and so forth. We get back, I don't know where I was in that at that stage, Perth or Santa Barbara or somewhere. And all of a sudden, he's a possibility. And then, you know, we just went full steam ahead. Obviously, my Zoom skills worked out very well, and he joined us. But
I think it's...
like, yeah, I'm with you. And look, everyone compliments him on his shooting, and obviously, like, I'm not going to tell him not to shoot. But I think he has a lot more to his game than what people give him credit for. Like, he was a college athlete for 5 years. He went to
yeah.
five NCAA tournaments. So
yeah.
a couple of things that excite me. He's been around winners. He's been around like really good coaches, but he's also been parts of programs where he's not necessarily 1A. He's played with Trae Young, you know?
Right.
So we have Trae Young at Perth Wildcats. So to me, when you put a team together, it's important you understand how to play with elite level players.
Man, when I saw that signing, I was like, mate, we'll have him for one and he's done. You know, like, he will go. I know it's, you know,
yeah.
like, I'm so excited to watch him play. But anyway, look, let's transfer here. Obviously, an added listener to our program that you are, you would know at this time of the pod, what we do is we throw some names at you. And all we
yep.
want is like one word, one sentence, whatever you feel that comes to mind when we say a name. And I'm going to start it off with Leapin' Leroy Loggins.
Legend.
That's another L. Very good. Leapin' Leroy Loggins, legend. All right. I'll go with a legend too. Brian Gorgian.
Master of manipulation.
Oh, nice.
Good. Yep.
Patty Mills.
Will never pay for another beer in Australia in his life.
And nor should he. Jeez. 42-9 in a final. Jeez. All right. Corey Homicide Williams.
If there was 11 teams in the NBL, all 11 would win the championship.
So you've watched his commentary.
Weren't you on that Townsville team that knocked out a Perth team 1 year in the finals where he ran around, was it Challenge Stadium with his singlet
yeah,
up?
Yep.
Yeah. You were part
yep.
of that. You were
yep.
making big shot.
I was.
Big shot. Yeah. So
yep.
how does that feel now, Coach in Perth? Have they accepted you? Have they forgotten that? Have they got short-term memory loss?
Well, as long as we win games, it'll be short-term memory loss
yeah.
for sure.
I'll continue on. Rob Rose.
Oh, like, what I would say is when everyone talks about imports, high-level imports, I think sometimes he gets lost in the mix because he had an unbelievable competitive desire.
Yes, could not agree more. And now I'm not going to end with a word association. I'm going to end with one question. This is probably the toughest question you're going to get at in this whole thing, but if you had to choose now, West Coast Eagles or Fremantle Dockers?
Well, Frio, they're still alive.
Yeah, there you go. Way to go.
That's hilarious. John, we can't thank you enough, mate. We're going to let you get back to it. You've given up your time, and we really appreciate this. Cannot wait to see you do what you do for the Perth Wildcats. I'm pumped. I'll be doing some commentary, so I can't wait to see you there at the games. Thank you for everything. Thank you for what you've done, and it's so good you're back in the league. We wish you all the success this year, mate.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate your time.
He just oozed a coach, John.
Yeah, basketball,
he was fantastic. Yeah,
basketball IQ off the charts.
Yeah,
and the experience as well.
Yeah. He just brings that credibility straight back to the Perth Wildcats by signing him. What a fantastic signing. I mean, obviously it's all about, and he even said it about winning and everything, but love it. I want to give a shout out to a good mate of mine, Dave Barlow. I was lucky enough to coach him many years ago, won a couple of championships in the ABA with him. He's announced his retirement this week to Tiwi's wife and the kids. Absolutely fantastic career. What an outstanding 5 NBL rings, I think, buddy. And, you know,
I don't think it's 5. 5's a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it's five. I think it's 5.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he got. Well, let's
maybe. I didn't think of the last couple of Melbourne United ones. I think he had about two or three.
Sydney, two or three. Actually, I think he was part of all three in Sydney. Then he got one, obviously in Melbourne. And then actually, it would have been 2 in Melbourne.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he's got his 5.
Sometimes we should check our facts before we talk.
Why would we do that, mate? Why would we do that? We just guess anyway and everything else. Exactly, yeah. And then there's people just yelling at, do you guys have any idea what you're doing?
Have you got a clue? No.
No, not a clue. Why would we start now?
Would say quickly, Corey Webster signing at Perth, also a very good one.
That would be interesting. Because he signed there a few years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he got an offer to go.
And then he got, yeah.
And we've got the Opals are in camp right now, heading into the World Cup in Sydney, starting on the 22nd of this month.
Rumour has it that the Don of Adelaide is going to be coming up for this tournament. That's the rumour going round. Is it true?
I think it could be possible. You've got World Championship on your own shores and you're going to go play golf. No, I'll be there. Don't you worry about
fantastic.
That.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We're going to have a listen too. We've got a very beautiful Opal star who will be joining us in our next pod. So look out for that. Yep. We'll be talking all things Opals and very much looking forward to that. Some great news. Lauren Jackson signed this year, for the coming up season of the WNBL, which I think is fabulous.
And she signed with a club that you're not even remotely interested in.
No,
Southside
never heard of them.
Flyers.
Go Knights, girls.
Never gushed about them before.
That's phenomenal. So, Boddy, that's about it, mate. We're on the way out. Everyone, thank you so much to Piranha Media. Thank you as ever. And our big sponsors, baby, Burger Boss are back.
Yeah, come and get a burger. Come to town, Brad. Just come to town. Like, there's not much to do in Adelaide, but you can get a good burger.
When you come up, can you bring some burgers with you and a hot dog? Just bring it with you.
I will. I'm driving up. About 5 days it's going to take. We're just going to cruise up. So I'll just leave them on the back seat for you.
Do you drive up like with the car facing forward, or do you just reverse the whole way?
Why would I do that? Jeez. I'm out. I can't take any more of this. I'm out. See you
everyone.
Next week or next one.
Have a fantastic week. See you next time. I just want to talk about John Rilley. How I love that comment about the college. If you think you're at that level, go the one down. How many kids have said, I've got to go to college, I've got to play Division One? That happens all the time.
Yeah. And yet if you play in the... Look, it's all to do with your attendance numbers anyway. That's what determines whether you're a Division One school or a Division Two school. It's like, you know, obviously if you've got 10,000 students attending your school, you've got a better chance of putting together a good sporting team than a college that's got 2,000 attendance or 2,500. So that's all that's about. That doesn't mean that there's not great programs, you know, and in the junior colleges, like Eddie Palabinskas, right back in the day before he played for LSU, he played for Rick's College for 2 years.
Amazing.
Rick's College, I don't know how Rick is these days.